Welcome back to another episode of Here's the Thing Podcast. I am Mark Cotton.
And I am Brianna Janelle.
And today, as always, we have another special guest with us.
I'm super excited about this one personally. Okay, I mean, entrepreneur, mentor, author, powerful prophetic voice, and personally our friend, we like to welcome Adrian Gleaton to the show.
Dre.
Yeah.
Hi.
How you living, brother? You all right?
I'm good. I'm chilling. Good to be with family.
I'm about to say, glad to have you on the couch, man.
So, I know.
I made it to the couch.
I know.
This is your first time being in my spot, too, isn't it?
It's my first time.
I've known you for years.
Yes, and I never got invited to the barbecue or nothing.
That is on me.
And I'll bring a dish.
I know you would.
Yeah.
I'm about to say, I gotta do better.
A bag of chips. That's what you get.
That's something. Well, today we're talking about dating, relationships, all the things. And I know you probably got a lot to say.
And Valentine's Day is coming up just in a couple of days. I'm about to say Valentine's Day is on Friday. I'm about to say, and there's a lot of people out there with the misconception of what today is about and how to go about it. So first and foremost, before we get into the thick of it, I'm about to say, tell us about yourself. I'm about to say, tell us things that you want the audience to know about you, and then we're going to dive in.
What should the audience know about me? Dating, yes, I'm single.
Okay.
Since we're talking about dating, I'm single.
Okay.
But I'm not settling.
No, that's right.
Ultimately, with me, I'm just a real dude. I want people to know that when you encounter me, you're going to encounter Christ, but I like to have a good time, crack jokes, all that good stuff. It's about business and life. And I've shifted to a place in life where it's like, it's important to live, you know, live, like enjoy life. A couple of years ago, praying, and God took me into scripture. Christ said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Yeah.
And I was challenged to identify what does abundant living look like for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see me, that's what I do. I'm living my abundant life.
Come on.
I'm a vibe.
I know that's right.
Love that, man.
I'm a vibe.
There's a lot of boring Christians out here.
So. Yeah, definitely not me.
Okay.
People meet me or they see me in other spaces and they think, oh, he's so serious. I'm really not.
Mm. Yeah, no, he cool. Cool, y'all. No.
The coolest of us all.
I would like to know, since you kind of touched on it already, what has your dating experience been like? Since, you know, you are single and things.
You mean the past year?
Okay, look at the past year.
Well, I took time. I took a couple of years to just not try to date heavily, but just kind of figure out what I wanted and what I didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
Started dating last year, off and on, and people are weird. Like,
to say the least.
People are weird.
To say the least.
These dating streets
are scary.
Especially
when you, like, people know me from, you know, they see me on sometimes prophesying or what have you. And so I've been on dates where I'm enjoying the date. I'm enjoying just the conversation. And somehow they try to work in. So what's the word of the Lord for my life? On a date. Yes, I said that on a date.
No.
Yes, it's happened. And my response is typically, you're forever going to be single. Please bring the check.
Please bring the check.
But it's been a challenge. It's been a challenge, I think, especially in Christian dating.
Yeah.
There are these broken ideas of what someone who is either in ministry, works in ministry, what they want their air quote spouse to be.
Okay.
But that's putting the cart before the horse.
Hmm.
Because how can you be a spouse and you haven't become a girlfriend, a friend, partner? Like, if I'm looking for a spouse, I'm looking for someone I can spend time with.
Yeah, yeah.
That I want to enjoy time with. I want to laugh with. I want to, you know, yeah, we're going to study. We're going to pray. We're going to do stuff like that. But there's outside of that.
Yeah.
Right.
If we're on a road trip, do I like looking to my right and you over there?
Or am I like...
am I deep sighing because like I can't get away from you?
Yeah.
Like, but you don't find that. Most people don't find that first. I think that's one of the greatest challenges right now in Christian dating. is people go after spouse before they go after friendship, relationship.
That makes sense.
So I'm going to just dive in because it's what to do.
Okay.
I think we idolize marriage.
Yeah.
And marriage has become an idol. And because marriage has become an idol, people go after marriage and the picture of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And because they go after the picture of marriage, you never spend time identifying who you are, what you like, what don't you like. You know, when a man findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing. But that means the man has to identify and see himself first as a husband.
Yeah.
I know. I feel like I've idolized marriage in the past.
No, we definitely do.
For sure.
I heard somebody explain it once where they're like, you know, like when you get married, you get a bunch of congratulations. And nobody congratulates you for being single.
Right.
Like, and it's like, you know, it's almost like this accomplishment that you've been married. And if you're not married, it's almost frowned upon, like, yeah, like.
Why aren't you married yet?
Why aren't you married? Like, why don't you have no kids? Like, you know, and. Like, what's wrong with you almost? And the issue with that, in my opinion, is that, like, you know, when we don't take the time to celebrate singleness, we don't take the time to teach people how to be single, like, you know, in God and how to cherish that when it comes time to be married, because you never cherish your single life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, you know, now, like, you know, you get into marriage with this ideology that marriage is going to make you happy, that marriage is going to be the thing that's going to bring you all this joy. And it can. But the issue becomes when you don't know how to sustain happiness for yourself. And you learn that in your singleness.
Listen, I enjoy my singleness. I was literally just talking to my friend. And this is going to be a little... Okay, I'm going to just say it. So we were talking about having gas. And she was like, Bree, how do you pass gas when you have a boyfriend? I was just like, you know, the secret is you got to find somebody who just loves you through it. Like somebody you feel that comfortable with. But now you can cut up. And can't nobody say nothing because you're single. Enjoy this time.
Enjoy the time. What helped me in the journey was years back when I lived in Alabama. I think I personally feel every church, if you don't have a successful, sustained singles ministry, that's not based on an age bracket, but singles across the board. Because let's look at it. When you're in church, you have a men's ministry.
Yeah.
Men are part of that ministry by default. Why? Because you're a man.
You're a man.
You have a woman's ministry. Why? Because you're a woman.
Right.
There's singles, but we want to put them in these categories of ages.
18 to 35.
Right. And then we sometimes we miss people.
Yeah.
But there's wisdom that is available from the range of singles. So my time in Bama, we had a singles ministry that included singles of all ages, people that were divorced, people that were widowed, and we were able to sit and talk and have conversation with each other and pull wisdom.
That's needed.
And just also bond and get to know each other and then grow in platonic friendships too.
That's missing.
That absolutely. Okay.
That's missing.
You all need to learn how to be friends. There are too many men who every woman that they meet, oh, that's my wife. Is
Ooh.
She? Or even women, you know, oh, that's my husband. Is he? He don't even like you.
He doesn't even know your name.
Doesn't want to know your name. like I've had that experience too. This is why, like, I'm really cautious about dating. Like, I'm an affectionate person.
Right. Yeah.
I am a hugger by nature. I ain't trying to fill nobody up. Yeah. So if I hug you, it's just my genuine nature.
Right.
This is a PSA. If I hug you, it's my genuine nature.
He hugged me. He must be in love with me.
And I am not.
That's my husband.
But I've had that where I end up dating someone who I was none the wiser that they were telling people that I was your husband. Hey, Cookie.
True stand up by faith.
I don't know whose faith. but it became a challenge in the dating process because I'm trying to date you to get to know you.
Yeah.
Right? And you're interacting with me
as
trying to be a wife.
Mm.
But I don't see you as a wife yet.
Mm.
Again, when a man findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing.
I got to find you.
I got to find you. Men are predators. Men like the chase.
Every time.
Men like the chase. If you just put it out there, I'm going to take it, but I'm going to get bored with it.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Real. Like,
I actually watched the Discovery Channel back when the Discovery Channel was a thing. And they said that, like, you know, lions literally don't eat things that are wounded. Because the chase builds the appetite. So I think that there are a lot of people out there that, like, you know, again, like, when and I'm not picking on women, but when women are, like, you know, throwing themselves, it like how it was in your example of, like, you know, like, oh, that's my husband, that's my husband. It's like, you haven't even given me the opportunity to build an appetite for you. I ain't chased you yet.
I haven't chased you yet, but then it's the, it's not even the chase. Sometimes it's the covert stuff that's happening. Like, I got inbox messages, and I'm a person, you send me an inbox and I don't know you, it's going to stay out there for a while. and then I had, you know, people that I knew were like, do you know this person? No. And then when we finally interacted, I'm dating this person like someone I just knew. I just met you, but you have this
idea,
and you're trying to force the hand of the Lord because you made it up in your mind because you're idolizing marriage. You're idolizing the fact that, oh, I need to get my husband because I have this clock ticking in my head.
Yep.
And so I'm trying to force God's hand. But here's the thing. Marcus, you talked about people finding happiness within themselves.
Yeah.
If marriage was a catch-all for everything, we wouldn't have so many broken marriages. We wouldn't have such high divorce rates if it was a catch-all for everything. Again, I'm going to step heavy.
For sure.
In the church, we do a horrible job of teaching singles how to literally live out singleness.
Come on.
In a healthy way.
Yeah.
Where don't hug this person this way. Why not? You know, you can't be really close to this brother or to this sister. Why not? What helps me and what's helped me in my dating journey is having sisters. Yeah. Because when I'm in a relationship and the young lady I'm dating is saying stuff and I'm like, that don't make sense to me. I'm not going to my single brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think like I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to go to one of my sisters. Hey, what does this mean?
Yes.
What did she say? She said this. How did you respond? I ain't respond yet.
Yeah.
This is how you need to respond. Why? Because I need to get it from a safe space that's not trying to give me advice that's manipulative.
Yeah.
But can tell me, hey, no, this is what this woman means. Like, I have sisters that are dating too. And they come to me, hey, bro, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been on calls with sisters who I've had to coach them on their first dates. Like, hey, these are your boundaries.
That's actually really needed, though.
Like the need for platonic friends where the line is clear.
Yeah.
That we are friends. Because that's where I can give you advice. That's where you can find, like you said, safety. That's where you can get a perspective that's just not yours. And I think that, like, you know, when you're able to handle it, and this comes with maturity.
Okay.
Because about to say
maturity.
Maturity. And the reason why I say that is because when you do start dating and that platonic friend is there, they also need to understand what their role is then. Like, hey, like,
do you believe that the role changes?
I believe the friends are friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
But I do think in platonic friendships, so we're close. Like, my sisters know, and I know, like, when they start dating someone, there's going to be some shifts in our relationship because
mm-hmm.
the amount of time that's available is not there, but the love is still there. The connection is still there. We still have our, not our triggers, but, like, our alerts.
Okay, yeah.
Of, like, if I need you.
Yeah.
Hey, fam, I need you. But that also has to be a space where you all have sometimes honest conversation.
Yeah.
Like, if I spend 24/7 time with you and all of a sudden I'm dating somebody, you can't be around, fam. Because I need to focus in on her.
Yeah.
And I don't need y'all competing.
Mm-hmm. That part. Because, you know, your boy here don't really believe that guys and girls can be friends.
No. I believe that when you are dating, about say that, like, you know, having that female friend that you were once attracted to or at any point in time used to date, now y'all just cool, that person can't be there.
Oh, okay. That's, and the reason that's why different.
I said, no, because we were talking about Brown Sugar. And then Brown Sugar, they had relationships and they remained it friends. And then what ended up happening? They ended up getting together in the end, even over their marriages that they had with other people and stuff like that. So I was just saying that, like, you know, when it comes to, like when we're dating, and I heard Ashley Lowe say this, shout out to Ashley Lowe. She said, like, you know, like, hey, like, you know, I got male friends, but when I start dating, no more new male friends. But the ones that I had with me already, they're staying. So, like, you know, the people like Marcus, the people like Dre, it's like, you know, like, they're not going anywhere. But the relationship may change. Like you said, I may not be talking to this person, like, you know, for 4 hours a day on the phone. Like, you know, my question is, what do y'all got to talk about that long?
I don't want to talk to you that long, 4 hours a day. I got work to do.
Respectfully. But, like, you know, but I feel like, you know, like, when... I think it just needs to be a healthy boundary set between the couple to say, hey, what's okay, what's not okay?
That's the word. Mm-hmm. It's boundaries. Mm-hmm. And see, that's why it's important to build up platonic friendships with the opposite sex, because you learn how to create boundaries.
Yeah.
You learn how to create boundaries in conversations. Mm-hmm. You learn how to create boundaries in how we connect how we talk. Like, I have a thing for myself with boundaries for everybody. When my phone goes, I do not disturb at 10 o'clock.
That's real.
I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
The only person who gets through is probably my mom.
Yeah.
Shout out to moms.
And she will send me a text first.
That's real.
But it's about learning how to create healthy boundaries.
Do you think there's a certain way that you should approach, like, a platonic, you know, relationship, friendship? We had somebody that asked us, like, hey, I think this person is really cool. I would like to get to know him as a friend, but I don't want to approach him because he's single and I don't want him to think that I'm trying to get at him. I genuinely just want to, I just think he's a cool guy. You know what I mean?
I think just be honest.
Just say, hey, this is just what it is.
Yeah.
Simple.
Like, let's hang out, let's vibe. Like, there's nothing, you have to be honest and be really clear about it. Mm. I think we leave a lot of stuff to a lot of ambiguity.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to have the hard conversations because we're so concerned about people's feelings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the other part is, love y'all, but you got to build up a thick skin in dating. Hmm. You have to build up a thick skin in building friendships.
That's good.
Yeah.
Like, one of the challenges in dating, or just in just platonic anything, or life in general, is navigating through your own set of issues and challenges.
Hmm.
You know, I believe in healing and deliverance, right? I've tell people, I don't care what, friends, family, dating, or what, I'm not going to be held accountable to your rejection issues.
Oh.
No, it's not going to happen.
He said what he said.
Heard what he said.
I'm not going to be held accountable to your insecurity issues.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the person, for those who looking. Hey, if you trying to holler.
This has become a dating.
This is
not the balloon pop. Right. I can't stand that. Nah, but if you're someone that needs 24/7 communication from me, that's going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, one, the job that I have, but also because of how my relationship is set up with the Lord.
Mm.
There are times I have to pull away and I get really silent. Because I'm getting downloads. There are things I have to write, things I have to pray through, things I have to really navigate in.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be sitting on the phone with you staring at the camera. For what? I got other stuff to do. Now, we can talk. We can communicate. And yeah. I'm going to be an effective communicator. It just makes me feel good if you call me and let me know everything you're doing. Why? That is an insecurity you have.
Yeah. Mm.
And I'm not going to submit myself to that. You need to heal that first.
Yeah.
Healing before you start dating.
Healing before. And the thing about healing is, it's not about perfection.
Yeah.
It's about taking the journey. We all got something.
Yeah.
We all have something that we're working through.
Yeah.
And we can't have an unbalanced request in a relationship thing, friendship or dating, where I've dated women who want, the man wants me fully healed, fully whole, fully all of that. Mm-hmm. But you want me to accept you like Beyonce, flaws and all. Not fam.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It has to be mutual.
Can we talk about expectations?
Sure.
When it comes to just, I even being in the faith, I feel like there are certain expectations that I can personally speak to women having when it comes to, like, he needs to be...
financially stable. He needs to have like
he needs to be the complete package. And it's coming from, I believe, where it's just like, if you hold out, if you wait, then God will bring you like your dream guy, and it'll be worth the wait, and it'll make sense because he'll just, things will just click, and you know what I mean? Like, and I just feel like, I know now, I just, that's unrealistic.
I got something to say that too, but go ahead. Because she asked you.
She asked me. So I think there are unrealistic expectations that exist. Mm-hmm. And you talked about holding out. But let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Most of those who have these high expectations aren't holding out. They're testing the waters.
Is that what's going on?
That's what's going on. They're testing the waters. Hmm. There's this idea that I'm the prize. Mm-hmm. And because I'm the prize, you have to do everything in your power to get me. Yes, men are predators. Yes, men like the chase. Mm-hmm. But men like to be chased too. Mm-hmm. Men like to know they're desired as well.
Please say that a little louder for the people in the back.
Men like to be chased too. Like, you ain't got to be crazy aggressive and not be a stalker.
Right. Just know that you're interested in
That you're interested.
Yeah.
But there's this thing where people talk about, like, what are you bringing to the table?
Yes.
Right? And also talking about working on yourself, right? So
yeah.
Last year, I committed myself to going back to counseling just for a variety of personal things.
Yeah.
And one of the things my counselor talked about was just dating in general. And he made this analogy about, like, he learned that what helped him in dating was not looking for someone, what they're bringing to the table. He says, I want them to bring their table too.
Oh.
Like, I'm bringing what's on my table. I want you to bring what's on your table. And we push these tables together.
Okay.
He said, why have half of anything when you can get a whole?
That's different. I like that.
Now, so when it comes to expectations, it's like the scales have always been so weighted for men, mm-hmm. right? And some women just want to show up. You want to show up and be pretty.
My God.
But what do you look like when all your accoutrements are taken off? Are you still pretty?
Was that a Hebrew word?
Accoutrements?
You know my name.
But so when all the aesthetics are done, are you still pretty? Are you still desirable without the aesthetics? Are you still desirable from the inside out?
Yeah.
Like, y'all focus on the material stuff.
Yeah.
But my Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. We don't seek the character of God enough. Mm. Like, your posture and your relationship, what helps me in my journey is knowing that before I date anybody, God, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, hey, I just need you to go out there and test the waters. Mm. I need you to go out there and know that you're dateable.
Mm.
Right? But it's that we focus on what everybody else has. That's where the expectations come from. I'm looking at what everybody else has. Mm. I'm looking at what's on social media.
That
I'm looking
so
at
real.
What celebrities have. You know, I want that. But there's this thing that's happening where you want the modern. A lot of women want to be the modern, you know, city girl.
Yeah.
Not the modern
but
city girl.
You want a traditional man. It doesn't work that way. There has to be balance somewhere.
I have people that feel like they don't want a project. Like, if he don't have every little thing together, then I can't be bothered. And this ain't it.
And it's foolishness, because at the end of the day, God is not out here handing out completed work.
He's not handing out completed work. God perfects the things concerning us, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So if God is always perfecting the things concerning us, then why are we trying to present ourselves perfect? It says, the scripture reminds God will complete the work that he started in us up until the day of Christ's return.
Yeah.
We're always a work in progress.
Yeah.
Until Christ returns.
Yeah.
So, yes, ladies, I love you. I love you. I do. But this whole idea of, I don't want a project. What are the challenges? The reason you want a project, because you are the project.
Because you still got work to do.
Like, let's talk about that.
You the project.
You're the project. Like, it's not either or.
Yeah.
Like, there's no person going into a relationship that's completely perfect. Everybody has something.
Yes. Everybody. Yes.
And because everybody has something, that's why it's important to get to know the person in front of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's happening now? What are your likes? What are your dislikes? What got you here?
Yeah.
Like, there's certain things. Like, when I'm on dates and stuff, I want to get to know you.
Yeah.
I'm not asking questions about your past.
That's real.
Not immediately.
Yeah.
Why? Because I want to date the person in front of me. I want to get to know the person in front of me.
Who you are now.
Not someone from historically how I never met.
Yeah.
That's the other part with broken expectations. People have expectations based on their broken relationships.
Mm. Yeah.
This person hurt me. I didn't heal my hurt. And so I'm going to put that on you. You got to jump through all these hoops. You have to jump through, you got to jump rope and go through a full obstacle course.
Yeah.
And spend thousands of dollars before I even tell you, hey, I'm a little interested.
I've heard that. I've heard some stories where, like, women feel like you need to spend a certain amount of money, take them to a certain place on the first date, or just have all these expectations. And it blows my mind because I'm like, where is this coming from?
You can't even afford to take yourself to these places that you want to be taken to. But that's your expectation.
That's your expectation.
Weirdos. About to say the least. But even to go back to the whole project thing, I think that, like, you know, the reason why God gives us projects is because God understands the significance of partnership. Yeah. God knows that sometimes the way that you're going to get healed in certain areas is by partnership. Maybe what you need is in this other person. Maybe you lack patience, so I'm going to give you somebody that you got to be patient with, that's going to help develop you. Now, you can choose what you want to deal with. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but at the end of the day, like, you know, I think when you're looking for perfection, you've made the mistake in thinking that the other person is God. I'm not dating, like, you know, like, when I'm dating somebody, I'm not dating Jesus. You're not dating Jesus. So this idea of perfectionism is weird to me, because it's like, do you hold yourself to that same standard? Are you perfect? Are you, like, you know, to your point, are you not the project? And when you are the project, then you got to realize that, hey, if God is sending me to somebody, then I know for a fact that I'm going to be sent to somebody that's also a project. And we're going to have to work together.
Yeah.
And if you learn how to work together, especially through that platonic phase of friendship in your dating phase and things of that nature, like, as you learn to work together in that aspect, what's going to happen is when y'all do get married, you realize that, you know what, man, like, I done put in too much work. I done grinded too much. I done invested too much of my time, energy, efforts into this relationship to get it to where it is, to step out, to leave. And because you're looking for perfection, I think what happens is, like, you know, you'll get bored of that quick.
You'll get bored, and you'll also be consistently disappointed. So what you're going to start finding is, in the relationship, there's always going to be a fight. There's always going to be a battle. There's always going to be a disagreement, because you're looking for something that doesn't exist.
Hmm. Yeah.
You're trying to hold somebody accountable to something that does not exist, that's not available. But you talked about relationships, like the partnership part.
Yeah.
How do you learn partnership? Through platonic friendships.
Yeah.
Like, how do you partner with someone?
Yeah.
Like, I love my bros. I love all y'all. Mm. But I ain't going to be around y'all 24/7.
Never.
Like,
no.
I need to learn. I need to know what it means to hold the door for a woman, pull out a chair,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff like that. If I was never raised like that, like, I was raised with a single mother.
Okay.
So these are things that my brother and my older brother and I just started naturally doing for her.
Yeah.
And so we had to teach her how to allow us to be gentlemen. Right. And some women don't know how to do that either.
Mm-mm.
Mm. They're used to, well, I can do bad by myself. That's cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. So can I. But can I hold this door for you? And then the other part is, just because I'm holding the door don't mean I want you. It's just a gentlemanly
thing.
Just because
I'm being a gentleman.
Just because I'm being nice. I think that's another part in this whole journey of trying to find the person, trying to find everyone everything is so murky.
Yeah.
You can't be nice and you can't be genuine without someone, oh, you want me.
Yes.
I don't. You're not even my type.
I was just being nice.
There was one girl I knew at a church that I was attending. And she came up to me, like, you know, like I introduced myself, like, you know, like maybe like the week before or something like that, because of some work stuff, because I was running some media stuff or whatever case is, and she was like, you know, part of the team that was doing some stuff. So trying not to put her identity out there. I about to say trying to talk real and cold.
I'm holding back,
but it was funny because she came up to me like maybe like a week later. She's like, "So when are you gonna take me out?
Never.
When are we? I'm just like, when are we what? Like, ma'am, I don't. I just learned. I forgot your name. Respectfully, I about to say like, and then on top of that, like, you know, there's nothing in me that has given off that I'm looking or invested in you. But I think to the point of like, you know, like, can we be friends first? Like, I don't even, like, can we build on, I learned your name last week? Like, is that possible?
It's possible. But I think also it's learning how to read signs. And there's a difference between reading a sign from a clear lens than reading a sign through a lustful lens.
Now that.
Like, transparently, like, we want it.
100%.
Right?
100% of the time.
But what keeps us yielded is the commitment to the Lord.
Absolutely.
Right? But it goes back to, hey, let me see how far I can go with him.
Yeah.
So we're looking at and we're viewing things through the lustful lens of things.
Yeah.
Versus through the lens of God. Like, we misconstrue scripture.
Often.
You know, we love saying, oh, he'll give them desires of my heart.
My God.
I love that for you. But my let God. Me help you with it. He'll give you the desires of your heart when your heart is postured to him. So if you don't know his heart, how is he giving you something that's so diametrically opposed to who he is? He's not. God will never give you a blessing you're going to abort later. A lot of the relationships that we see that are marriages that are broken, or I've seen people post, oh, we engaged.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, months later, you see nothing.
Yeah.
You don't see no marriage. you don't see them together. Mm. You see nothing. Because it was the aesthetics. Yeah. It was, oh, this looks good because my friends like them. Mm. But do you like it? Do you like her? Well, I mean, she's not someone I would normally go for. Okay. Then why'd you go for her? I mean, everybody said we would look good together. And?
Are you content with this person?
Are you content with this person? And that's the other part of dating, too. Stop dating people because your friends like them.
They just look good on the resume. Your resume looks complete with this man on it.
And don't date in your friend circle.
Oh.
Like.
Now that's good.
How y'all friends? Y'all like the same person?
Now that brings me to a question, though. I'm about to say, so with the idea of dating in friend circles, when you're a Christian, nine times out of ten, the only place that people really can, like, you know, like, well, justify looking for a man or a woman is in church.
Lies.
So I agree. I'm about to say, so can you speak to the singles that are Christians of where you can date, where you can find people, where you can position yourself to be found, and where you can position yourself to find somebody? Other than church.
Everywhere. You like, what does everywhere mean? The gym, the grocery store, the mall, at a concert, at a restaurant with other friends, at a birthday party, at a dinner gathering, in the office, if you go to the office everywhere. And you work on a Zoom call with some other people, doing a book challenge. I think there is a variety of ways, but you have to be open to that.
Yeah.
I think that the broken idea is because I met this person in church that they have this great relationship with the Lord.
My God.
And sometimes people go to church to find someone and they don't have a relationship with the Lord. And so their idol is to find a person and not to find God.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people feel like they have to go to Christian spaces to find other Christian potential spouses.
But what is a Christian space?
And that's what we were trying to get at. Like,
some of y'all churches not even.
So I think it's really understanding your power as a Christian.
Yeah.
And it's, let your light so shine that all men may see your good works and glorify your Father that's in heaven. Wherever I am, I'm a light.
Wherever I go.
Wherever I go, full stop. Mm-hmm. I'm a light.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I'm always prophesying. Doesn't mean I'm always praying. It just means my presence is a light. Mm. When I go to restaurants, I'm always messing with the hostess and the way I'm, hey, how you doing? You know, when someone I'm eating with is saying, hey, can you bring this to the table for us? Or can you refill our glasses? Or, hey, can you bring us more napkins? When they bring them, I'm the person to say, thank you, I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I'm being a light at all times. I think we talk about Christian spaces. Christian spaces are just a space where Christians gather. Mm-hmm. Christians gather everywhere.
Come on. Should.
They should.
I agree. And I think the issue is that it's not so much that Christians don't gather everywhere. I think that sometimes people let down their Christian facade when they're in other atmospheres. So now it's hard to find somebody that's Christian because you're not Christian everywhere you go. So because I'm not Christian everywhere I go, I can't find no other Christians at the gym because at the gym, I'm not really a Christian.
But I think that goes back. Okay, so, you know, y'all know me.
Yeah, keep it a bean.
It's a sonship conversation.
Okay.
Like, you don't know who you are as a son to God first because sonship prevents performance. And if I'm a son, first and foremost, before I'm a prophet, before I'm an entrepreneur, before I'm anything, I am a son.
Yeah.
You know, when I hear the Lord call my name, he says, son. Hmm. Right? And because of that, I don't perform. So therefore, I show up in spaces as my full self.
Yeah.
The facade you're talking about is this picture of godliness. Mm-hmm. People want to give a picture of godliness. They want to give a picture of deepness.
Yeah.
To make them more palatable for people in the church. But here's the problem. We're spending time talking to people in the church, and we should be going outside, being the light outside. Guess what? Every space we go should be affected because we're the light, right? But again, the challenge is a sonship issue. You would rather go after the picture of things.
Yeah.
Let me present deepness. Mm-hmm. Let me sit at a table and let me try to prove. Again, talk about dating. Challenge for me is people try to prove they have this relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
That's a turnoff for me.
Yeah.
Let your relationship be what it is and let it grow. My discernment is strong enough to know. Trust me.
I don't need you to convince me that you got a relationship with God. It's going to show.
It's going to show.
Yeah.
But it's that part. It's not understanding that you don't have to perform. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, most Christian singles and most people have not fully navigated in their full be. One of the greatest questions I ask God, when they were going to Christ and men say you're this, men say you're that. And he was like, who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
I went to God. God, who do you say that I am?
That's good.
You know what his first response was? You're my son. And as a son, what does that automatically do? It gives me an inheritance. Mm-hmm. What did I say before? I don't have to perform. So any place I am, I'm my full self. So that's where the challenge is. People come with this facade. And they think that's attractive. Like, I've heard men, brothers, like, when you ask, you know, what kind of woman are you going for? Like, what's your type? Oh, I want someone that's going to be a first lady. What?
Oh, wow.
Nigga, straight what?
Are they pastors?
But even if you are a pastor, are you a pastor?
That's what I'm saying.
But are you?
Why? Since you want a first lady.
The problem is, everything else, we go after all the other stuff before we go after the sonship and what God is saying. Like, who are you? Hmm. Like, when I present myself, like, I don't get into the, call me prophet. No, you call me Dre, I'm good. I'm not offended.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't negate who I am.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm grounded in my identity.
Right.
So the whole Christian space thing is people have to show up as their full selves. Mm-hmm. And you have to give yourself permission to be your full self. One of the greatest compliments I get from people that I'm friends with, that I've been in relationships with is not that type of platonic relationships. Let me just clarify because, you know, y'all be a little special. But it is because you walk out being your full self, you give me permission to be my full self.
Yeah.
That's real. Oh.
And that's the thing. We have to do a better job of brother to sister, brother to brother, saying, hey, fam, you ain't got to be deep all the time. Be yourself. Now, if you deep, that's you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, there are moments I shift. It's what it is.
Yeah.
But you can be regular. You don't have to prove that you're this deep person or this highly analytical being or what have you, or you're grounding the word. Appreciate that. Can you be regular?
For 2 minutes. For 2 minutes.
No, if you're going to be, can you be regular for a couple of hours? Because
I need longer.
But that's the thing. I think we have to identify, like when we walk into a space, it's a Christian space.
Yeah.
But it goes back to expectations. When you walk into a space, what are you expecting? Mm. Like if I'm going to R&B concert, I mean,
yeah,
fam, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just know that people be like, yo, I'm going to this conference, and the conference is like the thing that you're hoping to meet your person at. Like what do y'all, when do y'all talk? Like after y'all get up from the altar, like, hey, I saw you praying.
Like the Christian conferences.
Ooh,
like,
the way I saw you go up in tongues. Oh, it turned me on.
Your spirit was just speaking to me. Like, you know, I just felt your spirit.
No, you just horny.
Whoa.
That's what it is.
Whoa.
It wasn't your spirit. You're just horny.
I agree. But to you, that's not what happened.
I am exiting the building.
What? No. Because she, do you want to talk about it?
You can talk about it.
Because what happened was... I have, whenever it came to women in general, my first attraction was always the physical, and that's where my mind stayed until. But I said, and that's just how my mind operated. However, when I met her, her beauty was there. She's a beautiful girl. But literally, a couple of days later, my spirit just started, drawing towards her. And I didn't know what it was. And I am somebody that's never been the type that I'm going to throw, spirit stuff up there. I'm going to let you know, girl, I want you because you're cute. But for her, it really was different where, it put me in the space of, you should pray for her. Maybe you should, spend time, studying with her. And she's the first woman that I've ever, let's study the word together. Let's do this together. I think my spirit was more so attracted to the God in her of I can see that you have a relationship with God. Again, being herself, not trying to be somebody else, not trying to, front, she's holier than thou. I just like to read my Bible at night. I just like to, be goofy during the day. I like to chill during the day. I like to be a regular nigga during the day, but at night, I'll spend my time with Jesus. And for me, that attracted me, and my spirit was so drawn to her, where I even when I was trying to not look her way, even when I was trying to be like, all right, cool, she said no, get over it. I just heard God say, you should still go out with her. You should still, try to build on this relationship and this friendship. And that's what I did. And that's where it came from. It wasn't me being horny.
It just sounded like the people we were just talking about. Anyways, you both kind of touched on my next question just a little bit. But is there, I just feel like there's also this stigma when it comes to spiritual maturity where some people feel like they're up here and then it's like, I need my spouse to be at this level too. Like, how do you think about that? Like, is there such things where it should be even?
Is this more the equally yoked thing?
Not even equally yoked, just, I feel like some people be really, really, really spiritual and they feel like their spouse has to be on the same level and pray 3 hours a day and have their same type of.
I am not a Muslim.
Do you know what I'm saying? you know what I mean.
And I love,
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum. You can't expect someone to be you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
simplicity.
The end of it.
Yeah.
You can't expect someone to be you.
Yeah.
And if God directs you to someone that could be a new convert,
mm-hmm.
could be someone that he know the Lord, but
he's still
he ain't with all that. Yeah. He's still, a little hood.
Yeah.
truth be told, I'm a nigga.
100%.
I'm a nigga. Hey. I'm a nigga.
He's a nigga.
It is. But I've been with God for a very long time.
Yeah.
I've been with God through trials, tribulations. I'm a survivor of a lot of different things. And so I can't expect someone to come into my life and be where I am because the journey is different.
Mm-hmm.
Their walk is different. Their experiences are different.
Yeah.
How they were raised are different. There's a book I read. I didn't read it this year yet, but I typically read it once a year. And it's the Four Agreements. And the Four Agreements talks about like being impeccable with your word and stuff like that, and other things. But one of the things I read, and it's like in the first couple of pages, it talks about how we live our lives based on how we're raised, the family we're birthed in, societal things, all of those things. So when you consider all these different factors, right, I can expect you to be me because our factors are different. I grew up in the projects in Morristown, New Jersey. If you grew up in the suburbs of Georgia, it's a different environment, fam.
Yeah, yeah.
I grew up with my family selling drugs. It's a different environment, fam.
Yeah.
So I can't expect you to understand all of that.
Yeah.
Now, I do have a responsibility to be able to communicate and articulate to you.
Yeah.
Well, this is why I respond to certain things, but also goes back to my ownership of me and my healing journey. Hmm. Are my responses negative in nature that it hinders me growing in a relationship and building with you? Hmm. But it's so important for us to have honest conversation, to really articulate, this is how I raised, this is how I was raised. No, you're not going to be where I am. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't say this arrogantly, I am a prophet. Mm-hmm. God talked to me all the time.
Yeah,
I see a lot. I hear a lot. I feel a lot. I can't expect you to walk the prophet's journey when it's not yours.
Mm-hmm. That part.
And truth be told. Okay, I got permission. Great. If it was up to me, up to Dre, I wouldn't want to date another prophet. Because of all the stuff that goes along with it.
That's right.
Because I need something that's going to balance me out.
Right. That part.
And it's not fair for me to want to date someone, to want to date a woman who, and I want you to be here where I am. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the misconception of equally yoked comes from. Mm-hmm. Is this idea that I want somebody that is just like me. And really, like you said, to balance me out, I need you to be... You know, they say opposites attract. Like, you know, like if I'm a prophet, I may not want another prophet. I might want a teacher. Like, you know, I might want somebody that can just, like, you know, intercede for people and, like, you know, and just be kind to people. But for people to regulate their dating life based upon spiritual gifting or and say, like, you know, oh, if you're not this with me, then this is not going to work. Because, no, like, God will send you somebody that understands you. Like, I know somebody that, like, you know, they used to, like, you know, teach up and down that, like, you know, like, as a woman, she was like, hey, like, don't get a man that's spiritually, like, you know, quote unquote, weaker than you or doesn't, like, can't lead you, can't guide you, whatever the case is. Which, okay, cool. The principle, I can hear a little bit of what you're trying to say. But at the core value of it, the person that was sent to her was somebody that wasn't on the same level as her, but he knew how to love people.
Yeah.
And her issue was she had struggles in that area. So God is not going to send you somebody that's doing the same thing that you're doing. He might send you somebody that is good at other things so they can help balance you out and teach you something that you need to know about yourself.
Yeah.
So let's talk relationally.
Okay.
And it's going to be a brother-brother relationship.
Okay.
So think about Moses.
Okay.
So Moses, we know Moses. He had stammered speech and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Aaron. So,
yeah, he sent Aaron.
Yeah.
Right? To balance Moses out.
Absolutely.
But also he sent Miriam, a sister who heard the Lord was a worshiper too, to balance things out.
Yeah.
We have to understand that God will always staff our life with for people that can fill our deficiencies.
Yes.
Right? So if I am someone that is highly gifted in one area, I may need someone that's going to balance me out in another area.
Yeah.
Like the brother you're talking about, he was someone that was gifted to love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a challenge she had. So the way that he loved people was teaching her how to break down the stoniness of her heart to love people. Right? Yeah. She rejected it because it wasn't something she was used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because somewhere in her story, I'm just inferring.
Yeah.
Okay. She was taught that a man that was loving was weak. And love is one of the most powerful things you can do. Huh. It's the most powerful things that we have is love.
Yeah.
Perfect love casts out fear.
That's it.
Love covers a multitude of sins.
Come on.
Like, love is a blanket over things. Love heals.
Yes.
Love protects. It covers. Love propels. But if I'm deficient in that area, God is going to staff my life with people who are going to teach me how to love and how to love well.
Yes.
And how to love responsibly. And sometimes it comes through relationship.
Yeah. And let's not even be so deep about it. Sometimes it's just like, you know, this person is a better organizer than me. So if you're looking for, again, a man that's like, oh, I need him to be super organized because I'm organized. Well, maybe your organization skills can help him out. Like, it doesn't have to always be so deep. And I feel like Christians make it so deep.
Yeah, Christians, I've definitely heard a lot of women say, like, if the man can't lead me spiritually, then I can't mess with him. He has to be more spiritually mature than me if he's going to be the head of the household. I've heard a lot of different things kind of saying the same thing, but that's kind of what made me want to ask that.
And you know, my comeback to that always is, can you be led spiritually? Because we often ask for something that we won't submit ourselves to do. Mm-hmm. I want to be led, but I don't want to submit myself to be led. I want someone to lead me, but I'm not, I still want to have my own way. Well, we should do it this way, but are you allowing me to lead? Well, I have my opinion. Okay, that's cool. Appreciate your opinion. Appreciate it. I hear you.
Grateful.
But this is what we're going to do. Well, I want to do it this way. Then you don't want to be led. Because all that sounds good. And the reason it sounds good is because, again, going back to the church, love the Lord's church, but we do a horrible job of teaching singles how to walk out their singleness. We teach singles how to be married.
And wonder why we rush to it.
We teach singles how to be married. We don't teach singles how to walk out singleness. We don't teach singleness that the most beautiful thing you can do as a single is to live. Go travel. Spend time. Like, do all the things you want to do in a safe way.
Yes.
Safe. Do all the things you want to do, because when you become married with someone, you have to consider that person. Mm-hmm. You're no longer a singular being.
Yeah.
You have to consider somebody else. But the church is a horrible job.
Do you think that there's a difference between Christian dating and worldly dating?
I think there can be a difference. I think one of the differences between like Christian dating and worldly dating is the sex part of it.
Okay. Yeah. That is like, usually a...
It is promoted. Test the waters.
Yes.
Yeah, it's promoted. Like, go have fun. Go have fun.
How you like, gonna get married and you don't know
what you
if
like.
It's gonna be good?
Right. I think that's the other part. I think with Christian dating, the layer that we have in there is all the spiritual detriments that come with having sex prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's easier for someone that is a virgin who's never had sex to date and find their spouse.
Yeah.
Than it is for someone who has had sex and is trying to date and find their spouse.
Because
you have some people who have had sex, but they haven't dealt with their lustful spirit. And so lust seeps off of them. Like, you walk into a room and lust just seeps off of you. It comes out in your interactions, how you talk to people, how you communicate with people.
It dictates who you talk to.
It dictates who you talk to. Mm. Also, when you're in front of them, how you're communicating. Mm.
How you fix your hair sometimes. It's like
body language.
It will control you if you don't learn to control it. Like that, and this is why, like, you know, like, it's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It's like these things are such a stronghold on us as people. And we don't really recognize how it really affects us. Cause it literally, like you said, it will make you look at somebody and be like, I'm not gonna talk to them because my lust isn't attracted to them.
Right.
My lust has it ignited for that person. So we got to deal with that.
You have to deal with it. But also I'm always going to go back to platonic friendships.
Yeah.
You have, because we talk about boundaries, but your friends should also be, have access to you to notice and see that, hey, that's something is off there.
Mm.
And you give them access to correct you. Mm. You give them access to pull on you. And say, hey, fam, be a little off right there. Like, I firmly believe accountability is only as good as the level of access you give people to you.
Mm.
That's the only, Like, if you're my friend, you're my brother, you're my sister, if you see something a little off, come here. Like, come get me.
Pull me to the side.
You have permission. Come get me.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed in, church spaces is it's not that serious. It's not that serious. No, it is that serious. It is that serious. Like, go after somebody you want, cool. But are you doing it respectfully? If they say I'm not attracted to you, are you still pushing up on them? Boundaries. Like, I have boundaries. You can't cross my boundaries. When you choose to cross my boundary, it's no longer about me. It's about you. And for me, I think it's narcissistic.
Very much so.
And it's also disrespectful. And one of my deal breakers is disrespect.
There it is. Do you believe in the concept of the one?
Elaborate.
Like, when people feel like, oh, like, there's God has the one for me. Like, it's only one person that I'm supposed to be with. Like, you know, and, like, and this is the person that, obviously, like, you know, like, I believe that I'm supposed to be with. And if God don't tell me that you're the one, then it's like, it's a no. Like, and I asked that question because, like, we've had this conversation often about, like, the idea of the one. Like, you know, like, and I don't know if I'm explaining it the right way. I feel like I am. But, like, you know, like, the one. Like, you've heard this.
I've heard it, but I want to flip it back to you.
Okay.
Because, you know, you read the Bible more than I do.
Oh, my gosh. You quoted more scriptures today.
That's
I have all week.
That's today. I think that the challenge with it sounds good.
Yes, it does.
It sounds good.
It sounds amazing, actually.
I think it's, hey, there's one person out there for me.
Yeah.
What if that one person's a friend?
Perspective.
I think that's the part we have to really define. We say a lot of things that sound good.
Yeah.
But what do they really mean? Because the one for you, that could be a good friend. That one, Cookie, we gonna fight today.
She getting restless.
The one could be just a friend who just understands me.
Yeah.
That one could be a person just in a tough season of my life was there to support me. That's the one I needed right then and there. That was the one. The one could be the person that I had a situation with that caused my entire life to shift. That could be the one. Right there.
Wow.
It's about perspective. That's why I always ask the question, how do you define it?
That's a new perspective.
How do you define it? Because we have all these hit the mic, talk to my hands too much. I do it often. It's what I do. We have all these perspectives. We have all these ideas. We have all of these I would say policies about how this is supposed to be this way and these mantras and this, that, and the third. And we've heard them from so many different places.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good. Okay, it sounds good, but is it good for you? Is it good for you? Does it match your journey? When you sit down and look at it, how do you define it? What did God say to you about it? Me as a writer, words are important.
Yeah.
Words are important. What do you mean by that? If a word is out of context, I'm going to tell you it's out of context. So please explain to me and elaborate to me. What do you mean by that? And people sometimes will phrase things in these very elaborate ways because they have no language or definition for it. Because they haven't spent time to find language and definition for it.
That's right.
I want the one. What does the one look like for you? Who's the one? The one where? Like, I... Listen, the one for me right now is somebody's going to drive me around. I ain't got that. So who's the one? Me.
I used to believe in, like, the one. But as I prayed into this relationship, God kind of just told me, like, he would advise me to marry him based on what I'm called to. And the covering that I'll need and all of the things And it, that for me spoke volumes, because it wasn't like a, I'm telling you to do this. Like, this is the one, you know what I mean? He's just like, hey, this is my heavenly advice. You can choose to take it. You could not. But yeah. And so I don't know. I feel like the whole, there's only one person out there, I don't necessarily believe it anymore.
Here's what I'll say. I think that we had to differentiate God outside time versus God operating in time. Outside time, he knows, don't do that. we got to differentiate, because at the end of the day, God outside of time obviously knows everything. In time, he knows everything too. But like, you know, outside time, like, you know, we try to put the outside of time knowledge on the inside of time lifespan. And say like, oh, well, there's only one person that God wants him to marry. Yeah, because outside time, he knows that. But within time, it may be a thing of just you exploring, you finding out. Because again, the first time, and this is just me thinking out loud the way I like scripture. So the Bible says that, like, you know, when God created Eve for Adam, what ends up happening is the first time something goes wrong, Adam says, it was the woman that you gave me. The woman that you gave me, God. Like, you know, so God said, oh, I'm the problem. Say that. From now on.
But you can't say that to me and have me not leap, because here's the problem.
Go for it.
Here's the problem. The fact that they had new knowledge and new understanding, right? That's when their identities became separated. Because here's the thing. We've talked about. Who told you that, right?
Yes.
So
Genesis 3 and 9.
Right.
Where are you? Who told you?
So God asked, they said it was a point in time, we know in the scripture, where God would meet Adam in the cool of the day. He's walking through, his voice is walking in the garden.
Yes.
It's a whole nother word. Adam, where are you? But when Adam and Eve, when Eve was made out of Adam's rib, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, they became one.
Yeah.
So again, it's in my mind, my thoughts. Don't fight me. But I believe that every time that God met Adam in the morning, in the cool of the day, Eve was there too.
Yes.
Because they became one.
I agree.
So the moment where their knowledge is now here, we're now separate beings. That's what blame is birthed. Mm-hmm. Mm. Because before, he didn't care. It's really understanding, like, yeah, he blamed her because he had new knowledge then.
Yeah.
And that's the other part. When we're none the wiser, who are we blaming? Nobody.
Yeah.
We're accepting things for what it is. Mm-hmm. But the one is, I think it's relative to your experience.
Yeah.
You have to define it for yourself. Also pressing into God, like, God, who is the one for me? What does the one look like for me? And most times, most people won't do that.
Yeah.
They want the one that is going to do all the physical things. Pay the bills.
Yeah.
Make me feel good. Y'all know what I mean. but there's no discussion about character.
Never.
Like, you ask someone, like, what type of, you know, man you like? What type of woman do you like? The first thing they're going to go off with is all the outside stuff. Mm-hmm. Beauty fades.
Every time.
Like, I firmly believe God's going to give me somebody I like and I'm attracted to.
Yeah.
Because.
Knows what you need.
He knows what I need. Hear me. He knows what I need. But when beauty fades, when we get older, do I like your company?
Yeah.
Do I feel comfortable with you? When I've poured out from a ministry space, do I feel safe with you to let down my guards?
Yeah.
To lay my head in your lap and sleep?
Important.
Do I trust you to cook for me?
Important.
Mm. Can you cook?
Important. Importante.
Because even like, I'm, again, no scrub. We talked about it before we started, but I cook myself.
Yeah.
But it's those things. Like, what are the things that are important to you in the one?
Yeah. And that's why, like, you know, again, it's like when I think about all that, I just think about God's character.
Right.
And for anybody out there, this is just, I have scripture to support my theory. For people out there that believe that there is one person out there that God, like, you know, said, like, you know, this person is going to be your husband, 2 points, or your wife, 2 points. One, if you marry the wrong person because you have free will, is that marriage now in sin because that wasn't the one that God told you to be with? So at that point in time, you got to question all that. But then on top of that, my thing is that if he says to choose me.
Or better yet, what if they never question God to be with that person anyway? Go ahead, continue.
That part.
Sorry.
No.
It is, you know.
Good, great tidbit. But then the other part is, like, you know, there is, like, you know, if God makes you, if God allows you to choose him, salvation is not forced upon you.
It's not.
Like, you know, like a relationship with God is not forced upon you. He wants you to choose him. What makes you think that God is going to say, I want you to pick me, but I'm going to force you to be with this person? That's not his character.
Yeah.
His character is, hey, man, like, you know, like even when you read, and again, man, I'm not trying to be deep. When you read Genesis, the Bible says that Adam was looking for companionship among the animals and stuff that were there. And then that's when God said, hey, man, it's just not good for man to be alone. Like
he was looking for companionship. He wasn't looking for a wife. He wasn't looking for someone to warm his bed.
The definition of companionship right now.
I gave it to you in the beginning, which is someone I enjoy spending time with. Mm. You know, someone I feel safe with, that I can laugh with, that I can joke with. You know, someone I can look over and like, you know, I like you being around.
You couldn't do that with the cows.
Can't do it with the cows. Mm. Absolutely not. Like, no.
No. So let me ask you a question, man. So Valentine's Day is approaching. Like, you know, you are single.
Yes.
We talked a lot about, like, you know, we've been talking about singleness anyway. But, like, you know, what advice do you have for that person that dreads this day every year, that has no companion that they want to kick it with or whatever case is? Like, you know, like, what are some suggestions that you have for them coming up for this Friday?
So I would say if you have other single friends, right, get together, hang out.
Yeah.
What would be dope is if you got, for brothers, you got other single brothers, y'all plan, put your clothes on, get your suits out, be dressed, book a restaurant, go someplace,
go out,
and just go out and vibe and have fun. Yeah. Right. To the ladies, same thing. Or better yet, if you have platonic friends, hey, four brothers, you and Black invite a platonic female friend that you have that's single, and y'all all go out together, not for dating, but just to have a good time.
That's a good idea.
Just to have a good time. I like just that. Just the vibe.
Yeah.
But also I would say not to dread the day. It's a day,
right?
It's a day. I know I used to call it Single Awareness Day for a long time. Like, oh, here we go, Single Awareness Day. Because it's a reminder, oh, you single. Mm-hmm. Nah, but guess what? Because I've seen people in relationship. I've seen people married. I've seen people in divorce. I've seen people, again, post there, oh, I love this person, and the next day, they can't stand each other. Mm-hmm. They're fighting on social media.
Yeah.
So I celebrate the fact that I have some freedom.
I like that.
I don't have pressure about having to buy gifts to nobody. I have none of that.
I respect
that. But I even have a challenge with the way we even perceive Valentine's Day. Because I believe if you're in love with someone and you love that person, Valentine's Day should be every day.
Ooh, I like that.
And they're small. It doesn't always mean it has to be a big gift or a grand gift.
Right.
It could be a post-it note. Hey, baby, I'm thinking about you.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that you go and ignore Friday. Because every day was Valentine's Day. Don't let your woman be the one woman that doesn't get a gift on Valentine's Day because you showed her your love on the 13th and 12th and the 11th. But what he's saying is true about the idea of, like, you know, like if you are loving properly, if you are loving, because love is supposed to be consistent. If God is love, God is consistent.
God is consistent.
So my love should be consistent in spite of what you do to me, in spite of what I've done to you, in spite of any argument that we might have had. Because people like to stop love, turn the faucet of love off the minute things go awry.
Right.
About to say, God doesn't do that to you.
No.
So why are we doing that to the person that we quote unquote love? Especially on a day like Valentine's Day.
Right. I just think, like, at the end of the day, like, it's a day. If you're a single person, then enjoy the day for you. Whatever that looks like for you. Yeah. Love on yourself. How about that?
That's good.
Love on yourself.
That's like, people have a hard time doing that. Mm-hmm. How can you expect somebody to love
and
you?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
This actual day was never meant for Christians anyway.
It's a hot take.
Like
you Christians,
Valentine's
celebrating
Day
that.
Was really a pagan holiday.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But we're celebrating it and making it. Oh no, it was never meant for us in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the history of Valentine's Day, it's some dark stuff.
It's some stuff. So that's the part. But if you're so concerned about like, oh, I dread this day, then don't dread the day.
Yeah.
You have to choose different. What do you do different? Last year you were in a stupor because you ain't had nobody.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
year you ain't got nobody. So don't be in a stupor. You do have somebody. You have you.
Yeah.
Enjoy you.
Love yourself. Run a nice bubble
Take yourself
bath.
Out.
Take yourself oh. out. Take yourself to the spa. Get yeah. your nails done.
Yeah.
You know, take yourself on a vacation somewhere. But again, if you have those single friends, don't wait for them to call you. You call them. Yeah. Like, hey, let's all just, even if you have a dinner party at your house, we just going to cook together and laugh and watch a movie.
Yeah. But I think the issue is when you don't love yourself, you put a lot of weight on the other person to love you a certain way. And when that doesn't happen, like, you know, you'll always feel as if their love is inadequate. And it's not their love that's inadequate. It's your love to yourself.
It's your love to yourself. And because you have not understood your full value, no matter how much someone loves you, you'll never receive it. Because you don't know your value.
Talk about that.
You gotta know your value. Like, it goes back to against sonship.
Yeah.
I know my value. God loves me. He loves me. He loves every part of who I am. Even when I make a mistake, he still loves me. He doesn't move away from me. He moves closer. Mm. One of the greatest things that wrecks me every time is when I'm going through stuff and I'm like, and I have those moments where I would love to have someone right there just to talk stuff out. And I'm like, man, this should just be. And I hear God, son, I'm here. Mm. It wrecks me every time because it's a reminder that I'm loved
yeah.
and I'm valued and I'm appreciated.
And
because
not
I'm not alone. But then also I'm reminded of when I talk about platonic friendship, I have sisters. I have brothers. We are really consistent about saying, I love you. Mm. Like, and that's the other part. We have these toxic ideas about masculinity and femininity and all of that.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
I tell my brothers, I love you.
Yeah.
I hug them. I love you. And I mean it. Period.
Yeah.
And that's the other part, too. You have to be around people that know how to love and know how to love freely
yeah.
without wanting something in return.
That
like, I genuinely love both of you collectively and individually, but I don't want anything in return. I just want to love you.
Yeah.
That's it. Our relationship's built based on that, just being genuine love.
Yeah.
Period.
I love that.
I feel like a big part of this conversation has just been enjoying singleness and learning how to enjoy your singleness and why you're single, learning what you like, what you don't like, what you're looking for, what are your deal breakers, all the things.
And just learning how to be content. You are loved. You're enough. Like, you know, and just embracing just where you are in your journey. Because, and I think that also, and I'll say this, I think also, to make marriage the end goal, to make marriage the ultimate, like, you know, reward, it may not come. And if you are learning to love yourself and be content with who you are, then you will be okay. And I think that's definitely, like, you know, like going back to the point that you made in the beginning, that how we idolize it is that if this thing doesn't happen, then life was a failure.
You got to make marriage the end goal for you, not the end goal for other people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're going after marriage because it's going to make mama feel good, it's going to make daddy feel good, it's going to make your sisters feel good, but it's not what you want, that marriage is never going to be successful. You're always going to have resentment in that marriage. So if marriage is going to be the goal, make sure it's the goal you have for you.
Yeah. That's good.
Like, what does God have for you? What is that goal for you? What does marriage look like for you? Is that your goal?
That's good.
Is that your goal? Okay. So for those of you singles who may be on a date on Valentine's Day or dating, when you go on a date, go to enjoy the date. Like, go to enjoy the date. Get to know the person. Don't plan your wedding. Don't talk about how many kids you're going to have, what the house going to look like, where you're going to live in the country or in the world. Literally enjoy the date, period. Enjoy the date and have some boundaries.
Yeah.
Enjoy just, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
That's
we usually end the pod by asking, you know, our guests to just kind of tell God's people what they need to hear. But before we get in that,
oh God,
I just kind of feel like you should just tell people what you're looking for.
What am I looking for?
In a partner right
now.
Single, y'all. Okay. What is he?
Hold on. Let me grab the mic. Let me grab the mic and hold it. I think if you watch the whole podcast, you know, you'll hear. I'll start with, I'm not even going to talk about aesthetics because if I'm not attracted to you, hey, it's not going to happen. But character, you know, be someone of impeccable character. Someone that can have a conversation, someone that's intelligent. And I say that not that people aren't intelligent, but I don't always talk about church. I watch documentaries and all of that. So also someone that enjoys the arts, all kinds of arts. And then be a little goofy because I'm really silly. And then be one that's not so concerned about what everybody else has to say. Not going to insert, you know, a certain word, but I always say, and then people. Because what I realize is when you live your life based on what everybody else wants, you'll never be happy.
Yeah.
And then you have to have a high level of emotional intelligence to deal with me. That's it. Real simple.
It's a little short list.
Short list. I hope it. Short.
I'm about to say, I'm gonna make sure that I put his at name on Instagram and TikTok and all the things
right by his
name. I'm about to say, like, his personal information. Like,
you can add now. If I don't reply, don't roll up on me.
Send him emails. I'm about to say, like, you know, put your resume in.
I got sisters who fight, just so you know.
That part.
So what is it that you feel like people need to hear?
First thing is, one, you're loved. You're loved, you're valued, you're appreciated. And above that, knowing that, and with everything that's going on in the world right now, is God is completely sovereign. There's nothing that's catching him off guard. There's nothing that is going to blindside him by anything. Knowing God's sovereignty, he's teaching many, many of us how to press back in to where he is. He's doing a reintroduction of who he is to many of us. That's through prayer, that's through study. And the reason it's important to have a reintroduction to the Lord is because you begin to understand that God wants us to know our power and our authority in the earth through him. Also, God's not going to hold any good thing back from you. That's his promise. He watches over his word and to perform it. And because he watches over his word to perform it, is to understand and know that he's watching over you. One of the things that I do, that I've said, I've decreed, I've declared over my life, is understanding that when God spoke me into being, that means I'm a manifested word of the Lord. And because I'm a manifested word of the Lord, he's watching over me. So if you understand for yourself that you're a manifested word of the Lord and he's watching over you, to perform everything that he's ever said about you, ever spoken about you, it's going to come to pass. But more importantly, God loves you. Your love, your value, you're appreciated. You're not thrown away. And for the ones that are, that feel brokenhearted, the Lord says, if you give me 6 months and press in, yes, Lord, you give me 6 months and press in to the process of healing, the process of study, the process of shifting of relationships, that in 6 months, you're going to see yourself fully healed, fully healthy, fully whole. I'm fully ready for what's next. Because again, I'll hold no good thing back from you. Therefore, I'm sending you through a process. So what I have for you, the promises that I have for you, the promises I've laid out for you, I am not going to put them in your hands for you to abort them later. I am preparing you now to handle your harvest. I'm preparing you now to handle your harvest. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. New things coming up. About to say, like, you know, anything you want to share with the people?
New things coming up. Got the website, I Am Dre Speaks. Stay stirred. Get your hoodie, t-shirts, all that. So that's available. Also, I am in the process of wrapping up an ebook, which I'm right now titling Letters to the Church. I always thought about, like, what would it be? Like, if Paul lived right now, what would he say to the church? And I do a lot of Facebook posts of introspection loading, journaling to the root, and I realize these are letters. So I've taken about 7 or 8 of those, and I'm packaging those, and I'll be sharing those as an ebook. So that are my goals, end of the month. Mm-hmm. Y'all pray. And then lastly, I will, at some point, I think we're shooting for end of first quarter, second quarter.
Yeah.
Well, you'll see me doing this of my own.
Podcast.
So, podcast will be coming, and more to come. But that's me. That's what I got right now. Stay tuned. Yep. I Am Dre Speaks. That's who I am.
IamDreSpeaks.com.
IamDreSpeaks.com is the website. And that's my Instagram handle, too. IamDreSpeaks.
And he might not say it, but I'm going to say it for him. If you stay stirred, you'll always be lit. And on that note.
Hey, man. We appreciate y'all rocking with us for this episode of His Thing Podcast. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, comment. Let us know what you were thinking about this podcast. Until next time.